of the Lord. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 22. Good to see Jay Sean and Dalton here this morning. You knew I was going to call you out this morning. Amen. Good to have you here this morning. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 22 and verse 23. Say amen when you get there. All right, everybody there? All right, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 22 and 23. Seeing you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that you love one another with a pure heart fervently, being born again. Everybody said born again. Born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God. Everybody said the word of God. The word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Praise God. We have been born again. And if you have not been born again, you have a wonderful, wonderful experience awaiting you. Praise God. But we are born today, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God. I want to talk about the word of God this morning and talk about being born again this morning, because that's what we need. And I think sometimes we look at it and we say, well, I've been born again. Well, I think there are times when we need to be born again again. Praise God. Go back to that original blessing and joy and peace and happiness that we experienced in the beginning. Praise God. Amen. Let's pray together. Lord, we thank you for the word this morning. Ask you to anoint it to our hearts. We ask you to speak to us this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you. You can be seated if you will help me here this morning. Praise God. We are born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible. Now, when we begin to look at this here this morning in the Word of God, we all, I believe, understand that there is a natural process that takes place for procreation. If we take a corn seed and we sow it into the ground, then I know that we all agree this morning that we're going to get corn. We're not going to get tomatoes. We're not going to get cucumbers. We're not going to get cantaloupe. We're not going to get any of those things, but we are going to get what we have sown in the ground. And there is a seed that is sown, and then the plant emerges. And the important thing this morning is to know what kind of seed it is. Amen. You can't just sow anything. The Bible says if we sow to the flesh, we shall of the flesh reap corruption. But if we sow to the Spirit, we shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And so there is a sowing and a reaping. Galatians tells us that, be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, and that includes the women as well, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. It is a principle. It is the very thing that keeps us going. We're in the time of harvest. All the fields have been harvested. And they knew what was going to come up because of what they planted. And the seed is a miracle, if you really think about it. A dried up little corn seed, and you place that in the ground, and in a few weeks it germinates and it grows. And when it's all over with, you have 100 or 200 corn seeds from that one corn seed. Somebody said one time that if you were to replant all of the corn seeds that you reap and replant all of them, it would only be a matter of a few years and the entire world would be covered with corn stalks. That's a miracle to me, that you can take something and sow it and it becomes wonderful, and it will feed the multitudes and bless. And we're here today because of that. And the seed that I want to talk about this morning is not corn seeds or tomato seeds or anything like that. What I want to talk about this morning is the seed that we are sowing with our life. Amen. The seed that you are sowing with your life, because as I've already quoted, that whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. And so there's going to be a harvest day, and the harvest will be for the good, or it will be for the bad. Amen. If you'll go with me to Matthew chapter 13, Matthew chapter 13 covers some parables of the Lord, and he always used very simple things. Matthew 13 and verse 24. And it says here, another parable put he forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man which sowed good seed in his field. Everybody said, good seed. Good seed. What kind of seed are we sowing in our life? The field represents people, and the seed here represents two different things. The good seed is the Word of God, and it will always produce good results. And I'll say that again, it always produces good results. Amen. Be not deceived, God is not mocked. Whatever a man sows, that's what he's going to reap. And many times when we look at this scripture, we get it mixed up and or ignore it or forget about it. But he said, let's see, verse 24. Verse 25. I want to go on to verse 25 here this morning. He sowed good seed in his field. And you say, well, I've sown some good seeds in my life, but troubles and problems and situations have rose up. But it says, while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. And when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. So the servants of the householder came and said unto them, sir, didst not thou sow good seed in thy field? From whence then hath it tares? And he said unto them, an enemy hath done this. The servants said unto him, wilt thou then that we go and gather them up? But he said, nay, or no, lest while you gather up the tares, you root up the wheat also with them. Let both grow together until the harvest, and in the time of harvest I will say to the reapers, gather together first the tares, and bind them into bundles, that they may burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn. What a powerful, powerful principle here, and a parable that Jesus is writing about. There are two kinds of seeds. The tares, if you want to get a modern definition of the word tares, it would be a weed seed, and the good seed is a wheat seed or a corn seed or some other type of seed, and they are planted. Both of them are planted. Actually, if we go to Genesis chapter 3 and verse 15, it gives us the difference of seeds that is in the world. And here is the Lord speaking judgment upon Adam and Eve and upon the serpent because of their sin. And verse 15 is a prophecy, the very first prophecy many feel of Jesus Christ. And he said, I will put enmity or division between you and the woman. Now he's speaking to the serpent, and between thy seed or the seed of the serpent and her seed. That would be the seed of the woman. It shall bruise thy head. The seed of the woman will bruise the head of the serpent, and thou shalt bruise his heel. And so when you examine life, and you could talk about living for the Lord, or you could talk about life in general, if you're going to sow good seed, then there is going to be a conflict that begins to take place. And that conflict is that the enemy is lurking around the corner somewhere, trying to sow some seeds that are going to cause you difficulties, that's going to hinder you, that's going to crowd you. And when the man sowed good seed in his field and the tares came up, somebody came along and said, I thought you sowed good seed. Where's the tares coming from? If you're doing such a great job, then why are all these troubles coming? And the servant said, shall we go and tear up the tares? And he said, no, don't do that. Because when you tear up the weeds, you're going to pull up the wheat with them, and the good things are going to be destroyed. Amen. Somebody said, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And so what that represents and what that speaks to us this morning is that the devil comes along and he sows seeds in the field that we are trying to bring a crop out of. Praise God. And that's the reality of life. If you start a business, you're going to have difficult times. If you're going to get a degree in college, you're going to have difficult times. If you're going to be faithful on your job and grow on the job that you're in, there are going to be struggles and difficulties. It doesn't matter what it is. And if you're going to live for God, there are going to be difficulties that come along. The disciples didn't understand this parable, but go down to verse 37, Matthew 13 and verse 37. After they asked him about the parable of the tares in the field, and he answered and said unto them, he that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man. And so it is the Word of God that has been given to us by Jesus Christ, the chief cornerstone. And he says here, the field represents, or the field is the world. The good seed are the children of the kingdom, that would be the kingdom of God, but the tares are the children of the wicked one. Amen. And so we have good seed and we have tares. And the good seed is the children of the kingdom, and the tares are the children of the wicked one. Now, there's going to be growth in two areas there. There's going to be growth in the kingdom of God, and there's going to be growth in the world. We get confused sometimes, and it's easy to get confused when we look at the world and we say, my, everybody's prospering. Everybody's doing so well, they must be doing the right thing. Well, I don't know if you know anything about farming or anything like that, but weeds grow pretty easy. Amen. And they produce seeds as well. How many has a ragweed allergy? Yeah, a few of us here this morning got a ragweed allergy. How many of you have to deal with that every year? I know most of us have to deal with that. There are many, many other things that we have to deal with. But to say it this way, if you go to a road that's been there for a little while, an asphalt road, and maybe a crack appears in that road, how many's ever seen a tomato plant growing up out of that crack? I've never seen it, but how many seen a weed grow out of that crack? Yeah, we've all seen it. And they encroach and they grow and they twist around whatever they can get a hold of because it is the nature of sin. Sin is always progressive and it is never satisfying. Amen. It will never satisfy, but it's always progressive. And it's natural for us to go that road. But if we can see the value of the Word of God that we're talking about here this morning, if we can see the value of the Word of God and what it will produce in its time frame. Amen. I said in its time frame. It's not an overnight situation. It's not an immediate fix. It's not like the drug scene where it's an immediate high, an immediate feel good. No, that's not the prosperous way to go, but that's the way of destruction. Amen. I remember as chaplain of the police department here in Augusta, we were doing some training and saw the pictures of a lady that started out with methamphetamines. And there were 10 pictures. Each one was a year apart because she had gotten arrested every year for 10 years for her illegal activities. And the first picture, she was a young, healthy, vibrant lady. And as you progress year by year, the pictures begin to be downcast and bags under the eyes and wrinkled skin. And by the time 10 years came up, she was dead. And it had made its toll upon her body. Amen. And that's how it is with sin. With sin, you start up here and you go down. Amen. You start at a high place, but you go down. And with sin, you can go way down, so far down that you almost can't get back up out of it. Praise God. But living for the Lord is a different situation. It's like a seed that is planted in the ground. And it starts out down here. It starts out at a low place, and it goes up. Praise God. We're not on our way down this morning. We're on our way up. Well, praise God. We're not cast down and thrown away, but we're waiting for the great harvest day when we can go to heaven and be with the Lord. Praise God. Verse 39, the enemy that sowed them is the devil, and the harvest is the end of the world, and the reapers are the angels. Amen. Now that's the word of God right there. That's the truth. The enemy that sowed the tares is the devil. The one that sowed the good seed is the Son of Man. And so we have two different things, two different seeds in the world. And if you please this morning, every one of us have two choices in our life. We can choose to follow the devil or we can choose to follow God. Amen. And the devil comes with lots of different seeds to sow. I remember when I was living with my brother in Chanute, and we would plant corn one year and we'd plant soybeans the next year. And I remember when we would take the seed to the co-op to get paid for it, that they would do a test on those seeds. And the quality of the seed would be the price that you would get for those seeds. If there was too much moisture in the seed, the price would go down. If it was where it was supposed to be, you would get a premium price. But one of the things that they checked in the seed, they would go down in the middle of the pickup truck and get a scoop of seeds out of the center, and they would literally measure the weed seeds that were in there, so that they could tell the quality of the total package. And so people today understand what I'm talking about here this morning, that there is always continually a hindrance that will come along. But we are not cast down this morning, praise God. We are not the losers here this morning, but we are the winners, praise God. Because what we are this morning is a result of the seed. And he goes on, and he says, as therefore the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so shall it be in the end of the world. And the Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend and them which do iniquity, and shall cast them into a furnace of fire. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And so for the tares, they start out in the party. Amen. They start out with the sound of singing and mirth and joy and laughter and all of that. And when it's all said and done, they end up in the fire with weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. There's a result of how we live our lives. I know this sounds a little heavy this morning, but I just felt like I needed to do this here this morning. There is a ramification. There is a result of what we do with our lives. We can't just live any way we want to live. We might decide to go with the party life and all of that, but rest assured, there is a result of that kind of life. Verse 43, he's still talking about the same parable. Then shall the righteous shine as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. So there is a result of living for God. There is a result of giving your life to God and walking with God every day that you live. As I've said, when we are born again, and I want to talk about that a little bit this morning. When we are born again, Scripture says we are a spiritual baby. Amen. When we start out, we are a babe in Christ. And if you know anything about little children, they don't grow up in a week or two. And they have lots of difficulties when they're little. They have a lot of things that you got to deal with and all of that. And then when they start walking, we clap and praise them. And to us, that's just a natural thing. When they get to a place where they can begin to talk, oh, it's a wonderful day. But it takes time. It takes years to get to that place. And on that subject, since you're probably wondering about it, I got a little video from my daughter about my grandson, and he's about a year and 3 months old, and he's sitting on the floor and got 1 foot on the book and opening the book with his hands, and he's just going to town, just reading that book, and nobody could understand what he was saying. And then he threw it aside and grabbed something. Then he reached over and grabbed his book again and started reading out loud and then started to eat the book. Amen. And that's the way it is with little children. Praise God. They do things and you look at it and you say, what were you thinking? Praise God. And the truth of it is that they weren't thinking. And the truth of the matter is, some of us that are a little bit older, I'm not saying really old, but a little bit older, we even have times in our life when we look at things and say, what in the world was I thinking? I got a feeling that we're going to be growing until we pass from this life and go to be with the Lord. Amen. So there's a growing process that starts out small. Amen. If you're here this morning expecting God to do some great thing and make you a prophet here this morning, I'm telling you today that it just doesn't happen that way. Amen. It doesn't just happen that way. There are many years of study and preparation, many years of applying the Word of God to your life. And Scripture says that the righteous will fall seven times. But praise God, the righteous, when he falls, he gets back up again, because he's got something that the world doesn't have. And when the wicked falls, the Bible says they do not rise up again. They're out for the count. Amen. And they cannot rise back up again because they don't have any strength. When you live your life for God, you have God to help you. You have the power of God. You have the Word of God. But when you live your life for yourself, the only thing that you have to lean on is yourself. Amen. And maybe a friend or two. But that's not very secure. And so the parable that he gives us here is talking about the Word of God. And I read the scripture this morning that we are being born again, or that we were born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible. Amen. And so the word corruptible, or rather, I'm sorry, the word incorruptible comes from the Greek word that means undecaying, not corruptible or immortal. If you think about corruption, you think about, if you go out today and you buy a brand new car, Brother Tucker, that Lincoln that you're driving this morning used to be on the showroom floor. It was a brand new, brand spanking new. Everything is just exactly the way it's supposed to be. I bought a new car at one time many years ago and went to pick it up, and they had it parked in this room, and the walls were white and the lights were shining brightly. And there it was, sitting right there in that room. And it was like, wow, that's a beautiful car. And the man handed me the keys and he said, enjoy the perfection of this car, because after today it will not be perfect anymore. And I believe on the way home, we bought it in another part of the state because it was cheaper. And on the way home, if I remember right, we were following somebody and a little rock bounced up and hit the car, and welcome to the real world. Amen. And the day will come when corruption will overcome that vehicle, and the day will come, Brother Tucker, when it'll be parked in the barn. Amen. All four tires will be flat, and somebody will come along and say, this one here is ready for the junk heap. And it's going to go to the chipper, and they're going to grind it up and melt it down and turn it into something else. Amen. That's the way things operate in this world. Your siding gets rotted out. Your car will rust, and all of those kinds of things will happen. Food will go bad in the refrigerator. It's because in the environment that we are living today, things don't get better, they tend to get worse. And I think it is one of the laws of thermodynamics that says that things in the universe don't tend to organize, but they tend to disorganize. And God made it that way so that the glory of our walk with God is not of this world, but it's of God. Somebody said amen. Things tend to disorganize and not organize. And if you have a teenager or a preteen, all you got to do is go to their room and you'll find that that law of thermodynamics works. Praise God. And the young people are not out here this morning. Just one of them. Amen. And she's sitting right in front of me. I can really work her over this morning. No, Abigail's a perfect young lady. Mama's shaking her head. Nobody knows you like Mama knows you. Amen. And, well, praise God. Let's go to 1 John chapter 3. Turn there with me. I want you to see this morning. 1 John chapter 3. And John speaks of this here. verse 5 through verse 10. 1 John chapter 3, verse 5. And you know that he was manifested to take away our sins, and in him is no sin. Whosoever abideth in him sinneth not. Whosoever sinneth hath not seen him, neither known him. And so when we live our life in sin, we cannot know God, because God is not sin. Whatever God sows is good seed. Amen. And he said, whosoever abideth in him sinneth not. Whosoever sinneth hath not seen him, neither known him. Now, that doesn't mean when you start out with God that you become a perfect person and you will never stumble and fall. That's not what it's talking about. It's talking about if we abide in God, we cannot turn away from God and go back to sin and say that we know God. That's what he's talking about. Little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. Verse 8, he that committeth sin is of the devil. That's pretty powerful language there. For the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Oh, there's great hope in God this morning. Whosoever is born of God, verse 9, doth not commit sin, for his seed, there's that word seed again, it remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of God. In this the children of God are manifested or shown forth, and the children of the devil. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. And so there's a very powerful scriptures. Two seeds, the seed of the tares and the seed of the wheat. Praise God. The seed of the corruptible, the seed of the incorruptible. When I think of corruption in the physical sense with you and I think of cancer. That's a dreaded word. Amen. I remember reading a letter that my mother wrote to my sister, who's already passed away from cancer. And she wrote her a letter and said, I know you're busy with your life, but I just wanted to let you know that the doctors told me the dreaded word, cancer. And eventually my mother passed away at home with cancer. And cancer is like corruption. It's like rust. It's like a physical corruption that starts out with one cell, and then it goes to 2 and to 4 and to 16. And before you know it, it becomes an uncontrollable disease that if God does not heal it, and medicines don't work, it will take over your life, and you will die from it. Probably everyone here this morning has been touched one way or another by cancer, and had the fear that goes through your heart when the doctor says it is cancerous. They did a biopsy on me here a while back, and they wanted to know if it was cancer or not. And it was a relief. I got to be honest with you. It was a relief when they said, there's no cancer at all. Praise God. But some of you here this morning, you know what it's like when the doctor says, we're going to have to treat this and we're going to have to deal with this. It's corruption. We know the power of corruption. We know that once your car starts to rust, it's hard to stop that rust from coming back. We're going to have the van wrapped, the church van, but it's not really that old of a van, but all along the bottom part of the van, it was rusting out, and we had to go and get it fixed before we can do a wrap on the van. And we don't use it that much. It sits quite a bit. We use it for the services and special events and things like that. But it's just the nature of this world. It is the nature of sin that corruption comes along. Don't be deceived into thinking that you can live your life any way you want to. Come on, somebody, help me this morning. Praise God. You've got to live the right way. Yes, there is a right and a wrong. Amen. There's a right and a wrong in mathematics, even if they teach you that whatever you feel is right. And that's the new math that they have come out with. I don't know if they're still doing it or not. But if you're wanting to know how to add 3 plus 3 is, come on, folks. You got this down. 3 plus 3 is, are you sure? What if you don't feel like it's 6 today? What if you feel like it's 5.999? And that's pretty close. I mean, it's not that far off. And if you feel like it's right, then it's right. And we're going to give you high marks for trying. Amen. We're going to give you a trophy for playing. Amen. And to get a trophy for winning is no longer popular in a lot of places. But it's all about how you feel. And can I just go a step further this morning? They're actually encouraging people to decide if they're male or female by how they feel. But folks, I'm telling you this morning, you were either born a man or you were born a woman. Oh God, help us here this morning. Praise God. And we're confused. Scripture says, "Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil." And I think that we are in a place this morning. I don't want to get too heavy here today, but this is the truth. It is the truth, and it really comes from the Word of God. There are two ways to go. And when you give your life to God, you start out with that old rust bucket, and after a while, it's a brand new shiny car. Praise God. It goes the opposite direction. Life gets better, and your perception and your comprehension of what you're here for gets brighter and brighter and brighter. You see, you're here for a reason this morning. Amen. Praise God. You're here for a reason this morning. It's not happen chance that you made your way to the house of God. It's not happen chance that somehow or another you've got a desire to know more about the Bible or more about the things of God. It's because deep inside of each and every one of us, there is something that we call a soul. Amen. It is the part of you and I that's going to live forever. It is the part of you and I that can connect with God. Our flesh can't connect with God. Our flesh can feel God, but it cannot connect with God. The soul can connect with God. The mind can connect with God. But there is something about when there is that drawing, that something in the back of your mind that says, I'm not going the right way. I need to change directions. Amen. I'm thankful that at 19 years old, God put it in my heart. I wasn't raised in this. I didn't know anything about the Bible, but I knew that I was here for a reason. I didn't know what that purpose was. I didn't know what the reasoning was. And when I was 19 years old, I made my way to an altar of repentance. And I won't go into the whole story. It's quite a story. As far as I'm concerned, it's quite a story. And I made my way to the altar and gave my life to God, and that was in 1974. And today I'm so thankful that I gave my life to God, because my life has slowly gotten better and better and better. There is nothing you can do against the truth but for the truth. Amen. There's nothing you can do to stop a man or a woman that has made up their mind, I'm going to live for God. I'm going to live by the Word of God, because it is the incorruptible seed. You see, that's why coming to the house of God is so very important. Praise the Lord. It's because there is a natural thing that takes place when we walk out the door of the church. Amen. When we leave the preaching of the Word of God and the influence that that seed has upon us, when we go out there, you can turn on the radio on the car before you get it tuned in, and all of a sudden there's wickedness that comes over that. You go to work and you hear the wicked voices of the people that are not living for God. And it goes on and on. It's everywhere. It's on the college campuses. It's in the high schools. It's in the junior high or the middle school. It's even in kindergarten nowadays. And they're letting little kindergarten children know about sex education and things that God never designed for them to know about at such a young age. Amen. It's like if you have a job and you're working inside and you work in an office and it's air conditioned and heated, it doesn't take very long before you have to wash your hands. You haven't been playing in the dirt. You haven't been out on a construction job, but you've got to go and wash your hands. And when you wash your hands, you can tell that dirt is coming off of your hands, right? Well, praise the Lord. Maybe the rest of you are angelic here this morning and you don't know what I'm talking about. Well, just listen real close because it'll happen. And that dirt, and you think, where did that dirt come from? It's the nature of the atmosphere that we live in. We are living in a corruptible environment. Amen. And spiritually, it is the same way. If you haven't noticed, our world isn't getting any better. It's getting worse. And that's not being pessimistic this morning. It's just the nature of things in this world. You say, well, how can I be happy in this kind of an environment? Oh, praise God. I'm glad you asked this morning. You got to get the Word of God down deep in your heart. John chapter 6 and verse 27. Labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you, for him hath God the Father sealed. Amen. Jesus here in John chapter 6 is looking out at the multitudes that are following him. And they looked at Jesus Christ as meals on wheels. And they knew that if they got hungry, he was going to take a little piece of bread and some fish, and he's going to multiply it, and we're going to get a good meal. And so wherever he went, if it was out in the wilderness, 2 or 3 days' journey, they were willing to follow. It's amazing what folks will do for a free meal, praise God. Be a whole lot easier just to get a job and go to the grocery store locally and get whatever you want, praise God. But they were following him, and Jesus turns to them, and he says to them, labor not for the meat that perisheth. In other words, if I give you a meal, and I believe it tasted very, very good. I believe it was good fish, good bread. And the truth of the matter is that in just a few hours, now I see some young people here this morning, some young men here this morning. How many meals do you eat every day, Jay Sean? You don't know. You lost count at so many. I know what it's like to be 19 years old and to have a bottomless pit down there. And you can fill up one leg and fill up the other leg, and by the time that other leg's filled up, the other one's empty. And I remember having a voracious appetite and a couple of Big Macs. And in a few hours, I was ready to go back again. Well, praise God. Y'all are looking at me funny this morning. I'm not talking to you older folks. Praise God. Esau came to Jacob and he said, sell me or give me some of those beans. And I thought, my goodness, beans don't really taste that good. I think it was probably the original barbecued beans that he was making. That's what I think. And you could smell it. Brother Mike's come over for dinner a few times, and I said, are you hungry, Brother Mike? And he said, yeah, I've been fasting all day for this. And I could smell it out on the road before I got to the house. And, you know, there's just something about it. But it's not very long after you eat that you get hungry again. It's the nature of our world. It's the nature of the way things are. And so what we need to labor for, yeah, we need to labor for our food and our clothing and our housing and all of those things. But Jesus said, seek first the kingdom of God. And when we seek first the kingdom of God, it puts all of this labor for the meat and the house and the car and the extra money and all of those things, it puts it all in perspective. Praise God. The Bible says if you're working on a job, if you're working for someone else, you're working for the Lord. If you're working for yourself, then you're working for the Lord. Praise God. And we are laboring for that which is eternal, not which that is temporary. Old Esau, he looked at it and he said, give me a bowl of those beans. And Jacob said, sell me your birthright. Sell it. I'll sell it to you for your birthright. I'll give it to you for that. And Esau, he was the typical young person. Amen. And he thought within himself, and he said, I'm so hungry, I'm about to die. What good is my birthright if I die? Well, I'll tell you what, it was a very valuable thing to have a birthright. And he probably, deceived himself. He did deceive himself into thinking that he was going to die. He wasn't going to die. There was plenty. He was a hunter. He was a skillful hunter. And he was just having a bad day. Listen, just because you have a bad day doesn't mean you throw away the good things in your life. Oh, praise God. Amen. You don't throw it away. You stand on your principles. And you say, no, I'm not going to do that. And he actually bought a bowl of beans for his birthright. How foolish. How very foolish. Amen. And I see it all the time. Yes, even within the church, people that are selling out their future for temporary things, selling out their future for a temporary high, throwing their future away for a temporary relationship, throwing their future away by borrowing and borrowing until they couldn't afford anything anymore. I'll tell you what, when you live for God and you walk with God, the Word of God will temper our actions. It will temper our life. It will give you a purpose. Praise God. And somebody here this morning needs to have a purpose in your life. Amen. Need to know why you're here and what God wants to do in your life. And whatever it is, it's going to be great and exciting. Amen. Labor not for the meat that perishes. John chapter 8 and verse 31. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him. Here are some people that started out with the Lord and that believed on him. If you continue in my word, everybody said the word. That's what we're talking about this morning, is the word of God. John chapter 8. Let me get there. I want to read this for you here this morning. John chapter 8, verse 31. If you continue in my word, then you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Praise God. There's something about the Word of God. If you get a hold of the Word of God, it's not enough just to read it or to hear the Word of God. We've got to apply the Word of God to our lives. Amen. We've got to apply the principles of the Word of God. Amen. Even if we don't understand it. And I could read all the way down to verse 58. It all goes together. But that is a very powerful statement there. If you continue in my word, that means in continuing, that means you don't quit. That means you don't give up. Amen. That means that in hard times, you stick with it. In good times, you stick with it. Praise God. You just pray and you go back again to the Word of God. And you find out what God's counsel is. Amen. You go to the spiritual council of the church. Amen. To find out what you need to do. There's something about counsel that is so very, very important. Amen. And you can do it, but you can do it not by yourself, but by Him. Philippians 4 and verse 13, Paul said, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Praise God. Somebody ought to say, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I can do all things. Well, I'm getting discouraged. You can overcome discouragement. Well, I need a financial blessing. Amen. You can do all things through Christ. It's all through Him. And I began to look one time in my Bible program. I can type in phrases and it will show me everywhere in the Bible where that phrase is found. And I looked at the words, I can't. Did you know that the words I can't are not found in the Bible? They're not in the Word of God. But it says, I can do all things through Christ. It's not a matter of I can or I can't. It's a matter of I will or I won't. Well, praise God. It's either I can, I will, or I won't. Amen. Some have told me, well, I can't live for God. You can live for God. Well, I can't know the will of God. You can know the will of God. Well, I can't receive the Holy Ghost. You can receive the Holy Ghost. Well, I just can't measure up. You can measure up through Him, through the power of the Holy Ghost in your life and by the power of the Word of God. That's why it's so important, so very vital that if we don't get the Word of God, we're not going to be saved. Because we're going to receive something into our life. We're going to receive the corruptible seed of the world, or we're going to receive the incorruptible seed of the Word of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Thank God for His Word this morning. Oh, praise God. Amen. Isaiah prophesied in the Old Testament, and I'm going to finish here just shortly, but in Isaiah chapter 61 and verse 1, 2, and 3, Isaiah is prophesying about Jesus Christ. And he said, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good things or good tidings unto the meek. Amen. So the ministry of Jesus Christ is to come and preach good things. Amen. Good things from the Word of God. Amen. He didn't come to, well, it's been years ago, but there was a some preacher, and his message on Sunday morning was how to heat your home with wood. That was his message. And I'm not going to come here and talk about how to heat your house with wood. We're going to preach the Word of God. We're not going to deviate from the right or the left. We want to go right to the Word of God. Those of you that are faithful here, you know we go to the Word of God quite a bit. He hath anointed me to preach. I could say there, He hath anointed me to preach the Word of God. That's what we're talking about. It's the Word of God. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn, to appoint them that mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes. Here's the exchange when you get rid of the bad seed and take on the good seed, to give unto them beauty for ashes. So you bring your ashes to God, the ashes of your life, and He'll give you something beautiful in return for it. The oil of joy for mourning. If you bring your tears to Him, He'll turn those tears into joy. And it comes by the Word of God. The garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Praise God. That spirit of heaviness will hover over you like a garment. Amen. Like a long coat that covers you. That spirit of heaviness. Amen. I know what that's like. I remember before I gave my life to God, it was a spirit of heaviness. Amen. I didn't have either of my parents. I was descending into drugs and alcohol and smoking cigarettes and cursing and descending. My life was descending. Amen. But I took off that coat at the altar and I laid it down at the altar. And when I laid it down, He gave me a garment of praise in return for it. Amen. What a difference. What a difference it makes when you give your life to God. That they might be called trees of righteousness. Notice here, the planting of the Lord, that He might be glorified. And so here we go, back to planting again, to planting the seed and making a harvest come from that seed. Where was that fulfilled? Luke chapter 4 and verse 18. Turn there. Luke chapter 4 and verse 18. Jesus is at the synagogue, and I don't have time to go through the whole thing this morning, but here He is at the synagogue. Jesus shows up at church. You know what? Jesus has shown up here at church this morning. Where two or three are gathered, I'm in the midst of them. You know that scripture. And He's at church and He's sitting in the pew. And the minister, the synagogue was set up an awful lot like we have here this morning. There's a wooden pulpit and there is a reader of the scripture. Somebody would read the scripture and then the minister would give the understanding of the scripture. And that's how they had church in the synagogue. There were other things that they did, but that was one of the things that they did. And Jesus is sitting there in the church, and the minister says to Him, "Would you like to say something?" Wow, that's awesome. That's what we need when we come to the house of God. We need Jesus to take over and do the talking. Praise God. And He sits down and He reads from the book, and He reads Isaiah 61, verse 1 through 3. And it said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because He hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor," so on and so forth. And then He closed the book, and He looked at everybody, and He said, "This day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears." Praise God. The Word of God has come down to you. You have been struggling, you have been reaching, and you have not found the blessings of God. Amen. The Romans are in control of your country. Everything seems to be going wrong, but this day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. The word of God has come and is made manifest in flesh, and he is preaching the word of God. That's what we have here this morning.
Amen.
Well, praise the Lord. I'm going to finish with Psalm chapter 1 and verse 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. All right, those are things we're not supposed to do. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. What's going to be the result of a man that gets his nose in the book? But not just reading the scripture, but letting them get deep so it touches your heart. What's he going to be like? He shall be like a tree planted. Everybody said planted. There it is again, planted. You plant it. How long does it take for a tree to grow? I was in Wichita many years ago, and I parked in a parking lot somewhere. I think we were going to eat out. And I opened up the door of my car, and lo and behold, there was a seed pod laying on the ground. And I thought, I wonder what that is. And so I just grabbed it up and put it in the car and brought it home. And I took that seed and I planted it. And if you come to my house, you'll see this big mimosa tree. Oh, it's got so much shade. It's real pretty. It sheds like crazy in the fall. Everything is covered with mimosa leaves. But I thought, nothing's going to come out of this. Nothing's going to happen from this. And I don't know how many years it's been. It's probably been 10 or 15 years ago. And now it's could be as tall as the peak of the church right now. And beautiful pink flowers come on it in the springtime. And it's got some really great shade. And it's just a nice looking tree. But it started out with a planting of a seed. You know where you're at here this morning? You're at the place of planting. And if you come and you just go through the motions and leave, that's why nothing's happening spiritually in your life, because you're casting the seed away. You're not watering the seed. You're not planting it in good ground. Amen. But you're just letting it die and nothing comes out of it. I'm telling you, if you will do it the right way, God will bless you.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Somebody said, praise the Lord. Amen. Let's stand together this morning. Don't give any attention to the tares in your life. Those things that are trying to hinder you. The Bible says they're supposed to grow up together. We're going to grow up side by side. Well, what shall we do? Shall we get rid of them? Shall we just throw them away, dig them up and throw them away? He said, no, that's not the way it is. But he basically said, stay where you're planted. He shall be like a tree planted. And when it's planted, it says that it will endure all the seasons of life, summer, winter, spring, and fall. And it will produce fruit, its leaf shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth, think about this morning, it's powerful, whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. You want your life to prosper this morning? Amen. Let's pray together right now. Let's ask the Lord to let the word of God touch us. Come on, somebody lift your voice with me this morning. In Jesus' name, Lord, lay your hand upon someone here this morning. Let the word of God get deep down in their heart today. to know the will of God. Why am I here? What's the purpose of my life? It's all found in the Word of God. It's all found in the Word of truth. It's a powerful seed. It's a miracle seed. And it will always do what it said it would do. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah.